numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Welcome in. It is a numbers game presented by DraftKings. I'm Jonathan Von Tobel filling in for Gil Alexander, who is off for jury duty. Or so he says. Are we sure he actually got it? Sure he didn't just want a day off?
No, we have no idea.
Yeah, right. He could have just had a day off.
He might have. I hope he's enjoying it if he did.
Didn't have anything yesterday. You know, the college basketball slate today. I'm out of here. I'm always here.
There you go. Yeah, you're always here. That's right.
All right.
We got hard handicappers to do right after this show, too. We got two shows around.
Man, I'm getting asked everywhere. I'm becoming famous. I got a holiday.
You are. You get a lot of invites over there on your
photo
phone.
Shoot.
Wow.
Man, I'm nervous.
Big shot.
Great power comes great responsibility. All right. A man who has great power, great responsibility, and is just a great guy to talk to. Mike Pritchard is with us here today. Mike, it's always good to talk to you, as always, my friend. By the way, happy belated birthday. I remember a late night in the nights of November. You kept telling me over and over again it was your birthday around this time, so I think I missed it somewhere in there. But happy belated birthday. Let's talk wide receivers. Mike,
thank you.
I don't know if you heard over the weekend, but something happened with the wide receiver that he may or may not have lined up off sides. Take us through the process, though, of lining up at the line of scrimmage and checking with the official, because we saw a video on Twitter of him looking for a half second, Kadarius Toney, at the official. Some are saying he was checking in. I don't think he was. I think it was just a habit of doing that. You saw it. Tell us what you think. And in terms of the process of checking in, how does it work?
JVT, KB, great to be with you. First of all, Tony's not a receiver. He's a gadget player. And a lot of times, you know.
Oh.
I agree.
Want to reconnect?
Yeah, we'll call you back, Mike.
All right. Yeah, let's call back. Maybe a little old school telephone or something.
Man, it was really.
I was real building up to it.
Me too, yeah.
By the way, did Mike have on my favorite shirt? Did he have on the collar?
Oh, I didn't notice.
I think he did.
Your Mandarin collar?
My Mandarin
collar. That's what it's called?
That myself and Ryan Clark.
Yeah, you and Ryan Clark only wear? Yeah.
We both fill out the exact same way?
Right, exactly. Exact same way. There's Mike. We got him back.
All right, Mike. All right, let's reset. Just reset because we didn't hear you at all. So start with the answer again. The process of checking in and what you saw from Tony in terms of checking in.
That responsibility is kind of hard for him. You don't have to check in if you just know where the ball is. And you can spot the ball when you break the huddle. And that's what I used to do as a weak side receiver, on the ball wide receiver. I would look at the location of the football. If it's on the 36-yard line, well, okay, I would know exactly where I needed to line up. And you got some room to play with. You don't have to be precisely on the ball. You can be like a half a foot behind the ball and still be on the ball. And in Tony's case, he was a couple inches beyond the line of scrimmage. Now, I thought it was ticky-tack, I'll be honest with you, especially under 2 minutes of the game. That right there, as an official, and JBT, you know this about the NBA, they swallow the whistle a lot of times.
Yep.
Under a certain time frame in the fourth quarter, especially in a tight game. You got to feel the game as an official, but I'm not mad at the official for doing his job. I get that, but I thought it was ticky-tack, just like Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes at that moment in the game. You don't want to see that call play out the way that it did. But Tony needs to know better. He needs to become a receiver and understand how to line up on a damn line of scrimmage.
So, Pritch, we were talking about that right now, which is like, so we've seen since that there was a bunch of instances of Tony probably flirting with disaster, right, in terms of lining up throughout that game.
Yeah.
And kind of what you're talking about, my issue isn't the call itself. It's you as officials let this go throughout the entire game. You didn't decide to call it one time when he had violated it, but then there in that moment you decide, they're driving for the win. This is the time we're going to throw the flag. And I can almost not blame Tony, because if he felt like, I've been lining up like this the entire game, you as the officials let that happen. You can't then call it on the final play like that, or the, you know, what could have been the final play.
Right. Like a foul or a flag in the first quarter should be a flag in the final quarter too, right? The fourth quarter. I think from an officiating standpoint, and anyway, as bettors, we got to understand this too. You know, as an officiating standpoint, officials, it's been horrible. It really has been horrible. And people are starting to call them out because officials are starting to become celebrities now. And they're starting to enjoy becoming celebrities. And it doesn't matter the sport. And so we're all in this branding age, I think, right? It doesn't matter if you're a college athlete or an NFL official, NBA official. So they need to be held more accountable. This pool reporting stuff needs to go out the window. and make these guys more accountable. And therefore, you know, as an official, you'll understand the feeling of the game. I mean, you got the Kansas City Chiefs at home driving. You cannot allow that little tic-tac of a foul be that impactful, right? Because literally, an official can call a flag on every single play. It's an aggressive game. There's holding on every single play, but they don't. They let it slide. And same thing with illegal contact. There's a lot of fouls that they allow to slide because it's good for the game. The integrity of the game is upheld.
So, Mike, take us through. So I always wonder about when you see Kadarius Toney lined up offsides earlier in the game, for the coaches, right, players on the sidelines, his teammates on the sideline, coaches on the sideline, we got coaches in the booths seeing all this stuff. I would assume that someone's noticing this, right? Whether it's a teammate on the field, whether it's a teammate on the sidelines, does it just become earlier in the game? Is it, hey, you're warning your teammate, hey, you're lined up offsides, check yourself? Or is it kind of like JVT is saying, if you're getting away with it, why, and they're not calling it, why would you stop? Is it one of those? Is that a normal thing during the course of an NFL game when you're out there?
Well, your wide receivers coach probably could help you out, KB. But, you know, finish point two from the coach's box, it's not right in the center of the field. It's typically around the 20-yard line or the 30-yard line. So you're at an angle. If anybody could help you out, it's the coaches on the field, maybe the head coach who's right there on the line of scrimmage. I say, hey, look, Tony, man, you're getting kind of close. You're skirting it a little, maybe back up a few inches if you can, right? But, you know, in the course of the game in under 2 minutes, who's thinking about that? Because that call is never called. I mean, an illegal procedure or jumping too early, I mean, I get that. But, my goodness, lining up a couple inches beyond the line of scrimmage, that rarely is called. And that was the whole point, I think, from the Chiefs.
All right, Pritch, NFL card is pretty deep. We have games on Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. I'll ask you to go where you like it. And what is the number of the game that stuck out most to Mike Pritchard?
You know what? This Texans-Titans game is getting interesting because I'm looking at the Titans right now. What are the 2.5-point favorite here? And I think coaching matters. And I know C.J. Stroud is interesting with the protocol and certainly concussion. But the Titans have been well-coached as well, as we know that, with Vrabel. But so have the Texans. And the Texans for the last few years have been highly competitive within this division. So I'm looking at that right now. You know, Pittsburgh, that game is interesting to me against the Colts, too. So there's a number of games where I think scoring is tight, and it has been tight with evenly matched teams. It's the year, I thought last year was the year of the backup quarterback, but it continues this year. And, all, you know, the storylines with coaches going to get fired. You wonder about the motivation from certain teams, veteran-laden teams, all that. So, I mean, it's action-packed this weekend, guys. But these tighter games, these evenly matched games, those are the ones that have my attention right now.
So Saturday's a big day because I think you got some pretty fascinating ones. The one I'm most interested in, what do you think the quarterback change in Minnesota does for the Vikings?
Well, you know, Mullins, he's in the league because he played well, right, in San Francisco. But we kind of know what's going on in San Francisco, and it has been a number of years. We'll see what happens here with Minnesota. I mean, it is so interesting with the Dobbs story, the flash of the pan. I mean, these guys are backup quarterbacks. And I don't know if there's a situation that elevates Mullins like it has in Cincinnati. When you have two number one wide receivers like the Bengals have, they need improvement from their defense to continue. But, you know, the Vikings have not been the juggernaut. I mean, Kirk Cousins going down was a big hit. Justin Jefferson in and out the lineup as well. So they're really young on that side of the ball. Although, though, their defense is phenomenal. Flores is doing an incredible job. And that could get difficult for the Bengals. But I like where the line is right now this week, so far this week.
Yeah, 3.5 with a total of 39. All right, last one before we get you out. Denver on the road against Detroit. I have Denver circled as a team that can make the playoffs. After this weekend, their schedule opens up really nicely. Just got to take care of business against the Lions. They're 5-point underdogs, total of 47.5. What do you make of this turnaround, and are they live here against Detroit, who stumbled?
Oh, yeah, hell yeah. Hell yeah, Jamie Kinney.
Hell yeah.
You know, Goff has not played that great. I think he's playing quarterback position and a little timid. You got the Broncos, who have improved mightily defensively. And I think Courtland Sutton's quietly having a Pro Bowl caliber year at wide receiver. Russell Wilson settled down. He's not exciting you from the stat sheet or the metrics, but they're making plays when they have to, right? And they're keeping themselves in games. And that's the most important part. Whereas the Detroit Lions, they're not running away with anything. And I think Detroit is questioning themselves whether or not they can cap off a season. Last year down the stretch, they stumbled on the road against Carolina, did not make the playoffs. They haven't played themselves out of a playoff situation or even winning a division. Whereas the Broncos, like you mentioned, JVT, they have one starting quarterback left with the remaining portion of their schedule, and that's Goff. Everybody else are backup quarterbacks and certainly teams that are reeling right now. So I think the Broncos feel pretty good about this situation. I like the points right now with the Denver Broncos.
Mike, it's always good to talk to you, man. We appreciate a couple minutes. Thank you.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys. Have a great day.
Got it. M.I. Pritchard up on Twitter.
Always great diving into the details of the game. Someone
he knows a thing
it,
or two.
You know? Yeah. Someone who actually played it.
I think I love telling this story about Pritch, but I showed my wife old highlights of Pritchard. And she goes, "That's Pritch," because she knows him for a while. She's like, "That's Pritch." I'm like, "Yeah, like that's Mike. He was a really good wide receiver back in the day."
Yeah, he was. Wide receiver and running back. Yep.
All right, we'll take our break. We come back. I mean, come on. It's Kelly and I. We gotta hit on some NBA, right? Also, it's not like a soapbox, but I do want to have a discussion on MVP in the NFL. It's a pretty interesting one. We'll have that and more as we go over the last 45 minutes of a numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Sorry, guys. Okay. Check out everything we have to offer up on the website at vsin.com, one of the more popular pages, the picks page. You can easily sort through picks. You can follow your favorite show hosts and guests and see which expert has the hot hand. Check it out now. If you're a VSin Pro subscriber, you get access to it. And if you're not a pro subscriber, just check out a sample of it. vsin.com/subscribe. You know what? I'm going to do this right now. Put a $9.99 introductory offer up on the website right now. Post haste, please. All right, it's up there. Check it out now. VSiN.com.
Better only be $9.99. It's on that graphic.
True. It's true. Post-haste. When was the last time you heard that?
Yeah. That was an interesting guy.
One of my favorite phrases ever, hoisted by his own petard. Such a good one. It's such a good phrase. All right. So, like, we're in the open area now. We can do whatever we want. Let's talk a little bit about some awards.
Let's do it.
We were going to talk MVP because I got some flack up on social media over the weekend. And, you know, it's funny. So you and I – was this on the air? Everything's a blur.
But I know, right? We do this all the time.
When it comes to conversations, like we were talking about Kadarius Toney.
Yeah.
Like sometimes when you have conversations, you got to be on one side or the other. Right.
Right. So it cannot be, yes.
And it drives me kind of nuts because I do think that we are devolving into this when it comes to MVP and Brock Purdy. Okay. Mm. Because I will state explicitly here forward, if I had an MVP vote, my first place vote would not be for Brock Purdy at this point right now.
Okay.
Having said that, that does not mean that I think Brock Purdy sucks. Like, there's this thing where it's like
I
engaged with Chris Felica on this topic over the weekend, right? Which was like, hey, like, because he put out something like he doesn't understand the hate on Brock Purdy, and I responded with, I don't understand if I don't think he's MVP, I automatically think he sucks. Mm-hmm. And there is like a middle ground there. Like, Felica's right, I'm right. It doesn't have to be those things. I can sit there and say when I watch Brock Purdy and the San Francisco 49ers, and when I look at a lot of the metrics that are tied to football, I think that there is a case that Brock Purdy is not the most valuable player in the National Football League. I think Brock Purdy is playing tremendous football, especially with where he was drafted and what you expect of a player who is taken last in the draft. He is doing everything that is asked of him in this offense, and he's doing it very well.
Yep.
But I look at Brock Purdy and some of the metrics around him, and I say that this team would still be floating around 8 to 9 wins, maybe even 10, if it was Sam Darnold or anybody else, and we have a track record of this team performing well with subpar quarterbacks because the offense and the skill positions there are so very good. Again, it does not mean I think Brock Purdy stinks. I just wouldn't vote for him first place for MVP. And by the way, Kelly, I wouldn't vote for either Dak Prescott or Brock Purdy for first place if I had to vote. I think, and we saw this on Monday night, what happened to the Dolphins' offense when Tyreek Hill injured that ankle? It fell apart. Tua Tagovailoa didn't know what to do or where to go with the football. And then all of a sudden, Tyreek Hill pops up back on that field. He's making catches on the sideline. They're driving downfield. I think a guy like Tyreek Hill, I think there's an argument to be made that Myles Garrett should get MVP consideration, given how well this defense has played, how good he has been as a defender, and how this defense, by extension of his play, has taken this team with one of the most abysmal quarterback positions in the league to a playoff contender and, a solid odds-on favorite to make the playoffs at about minus 500. Like, that's where I would be considering this. So having said that, I think the MVP conversation is fascinating because guess what? Tyreek Hill's not going to win it. Myles Garrett's not going to win it. It's going to be a quarterback because we are simple-minded and we have to vote for one of these quarterbacks. So the real question is, and I think this is kind of like a Gil thing he brings up sometimes too. It's like, I can make the case that I don't think Brock Purdy is the MVP, but what are people going to vote for?
Exactly.
It doesn't matter
what we think and who we think is the MVP. You're really trying to handicap these voters.
Right.
Okay, so real quick, because you kind of made the case, for Tyreek being in an MVP-like conversation, right? Do you believe then that Tyreek and Tua are going to cancel each other out?
I was going to say something. If you have half a brain and watch, no. No, I don't think so. I really don't. I don't think, especially if you are somebody who takes this seriously and you have a vote, and especially if you've watched this entire season, but specifically just go to Monday night. If you watched that game on Monday night, I don't think there's any way I'm watching the Dolphins all season and then specifically that game and going, yeah, this is a give and take thing. You know, Tyreek and Tua, they make one another. No, I think it's very clear that this offense needs Tyreek Hill out there to operate.
I think that point about Monday night is fairer than the point of, like, he's more clearly an MVP, just overall, more clearly an MVP with him off the field and looking what the team does, or looking what the team looked like, because he's going to rack up stats. You know what I mean?
Right,
if he doesn't
rack
up numbers, he's not going to win it anyway.
No, I know that. I'm just saying.
But I hear what you're saying with the Tua. Yep.
So why I think Tyreek Hill, and maybe he finishes like third, who knows? You know, and this is why I always like with MVP voting, I've always said this 1,000 times, I wish we could get like an over-under place of finish when it comes to MVP voting. I think that'd be a fascinating bet to put out there.
It's great because we are getting that. We're getting the 1 through 5
They did
now.
Change this now,
we're
right?
getting with the 1 through 5.
Yep.
And so I just want to hit on that real quick because I do think it's going to be interesting to see. You and I being NBA bettors and just basketball bettors, we've seen how this has come into play with who's won some awards here in the recent past. NBA, WNBA, this has been notable when they do the top five for an award like this. I'm just wondering how many people, like, I think Brock Purdy's one of them, Tyreek's probably one of them, how many voters choose to put them second? And do they possibly rack up enough points because of being in second that they at least become way closer to the conversation of winning it than we would have thought otherwise?
Yeah, I think so. And I think when you look at this overall, like, I do think at this point, narratively, and when you look at, again, handicapping how people are going to vote, I do think it's like a 2.5 horse race. You know, I do think that this is down to Brock Purdy or Dak Prescott because these are two quarterbacks of the teams that are going to be potentially at the top of the NFC. And maybe the win for San Francisco, 6 weeks ago, whatever it was, over Dallas, maybe that cements it and changes it for some voters. But I do, like, when we're looking at this board overall, okay, who are you betting? At this point, I think we're all but out except for I will go one route. And this is the only thing, and this might be crazy. But Will Hill just came on with us last hour. Said he bet the Kansas City Chiefs to finish with the 1 seed in the AFC. If that transpires, and the narrative around Kansas City and what Patrick Mahomes has had to work with at wide receiver, and they rip off these next 4 wins, and they get there, and they win the 1 seed in the AFC, and Mahomes is exactly who we expect them to be, Patrick Mahomes. If there was a bet to make on this board, I think it would be Mahomes at 16-1. And again, it's a long shot because he's 16-1, and the two guys are ahead of him at this point. But if you're along Will Hill's line of thinking that team could win the 1 seed, then you're looking at Mahomes to potentially win the MVP because the narrative of him overcoming everything that these receivers
have
done with him and they still win the 1 seed in the AFC, that would be too narratively strong, I think, for these voters to overlook.
Yeah, no, I agree because I think you put it right with the Dak Prescott, Brock Purdy. Like, is it most likely going to be one of them? Yes. Even sitting here today, I think I will say it's going to most likely be one of them. But then when you look beyond that, it's hard to make too much of an argument for some of these other guys to overtake those two outside of a Patrick Mahomes. I think even Like, I'd love to bring up Josh Allen. I think his numbers, and if they go on a winning streak here. But the problem is you're still just where the team record's at. I don't think he's ever really going to be in the mix. So I do think it's going to end up being, if someone's going to beat out Dak or Brock, it's probably got to be whoever takes that AFC 1 seed and puts on these next 4 weeks a pretty good stretch of games, right? So maybe that's Lamar, maybe that's Patrick Mahomes, but obviously 16-1 versus plus 475 is a major difference.
Yep. So I was looking at, I'm scrambling to get this because it was a good metric. Throw
and I do believe, I'll give you another second, because I do believe Tua and Tyreek are going to cancel each other out a little bit. Like, I don't think Tua is going to get the credit that he probably deserves a little bit more because people say you've got Tyreek.
I think Tua gets a whole bunch of like fourth and fifth place votes. I don't know if that cancels, and maybe that does cancel out Tyreek in terms of Tyreek's going to get like a bunch of third, fourth,
so that's where I think Tyreek's going to get those, and Tua's going to get left off for the most part.
So to your point about Josh Allen, really quickly, at Throw the Damn Ball up on Twitter, it's a great Twitter account to follow because it does a lot of different metrics and stuff like that. Going into this weekend, in terms of a create rate is what they call it, so scramble for positive expected points added or throws into open windows. When you look at it, Josh Allen, by far, second best in the National Football League behind Patrick Mahomes. So, like, in terms of – and there's a lot of different metrics when you look at this, but in terms of creating positive plays off of what you have to work with, Mahomes is first in the NFL by a wide margin, then there's Josh Allen, and then you get to the rest. Shockingly enough, Derek Carr is up there pretty far as well.
But, really?
Yeah. But if you – but this is, again, going into last week. But if you look – and this is terrible, but I'm just going to show you – down here – is Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
Right? So it's just like there's just a lot of different little metrics you can point to. Again, Brock Purdy's been awesome, but I do think that you're looking more at the scheme of the whole thing. And going back to the original point, which is what I wanted to bring up here, if you're making a bet, if you believe that Mahomes and the Chiefs have it in them to win the one seed like Will Hill does, I think that is heavily correlated to Mahomes really, really getting into this thing in terms of the MVP race.
Yeah. Yeah. I would go more towards this versus one. I think you brought up the Super Bowl odds, right?
Yeah, I bet him to win the Super Bowl. Yep.
I would go here before I went Super Bowl with this Chiefs team. Just I don't know.
Part of a champion, baby. Come on.
These receivers, I just can't trust, man. I cannot trust these receivers. They're terrible.
Can't trust them, and then it's going to be brilliant. Mahomes is slicing and dicing teams. You get the AFC looks terrible,
and that's why the narrative makes a ton of sense, right? A narrative play here, man.
All right. When we come back, we have more on awards. I've got a Defensive Player of the Year award that I would very much like to get home. And we have a good NBA card as well. Don't go anywhere. It's a numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The game changes in an instant in the NBA. Trust me, I know. I watched Brandon Podziemski screw me over yesterday. But no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code VSIN. The crown is yours. Back here on a numbers game, I'm Jonathan Von Tobel filling in for Gil Alexander, filling his civic duty and in for jury duty. So you just sit in a room? Is that what you do? You just go there and then you just kind of wait to get called?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Pretty much. Yeah, you kind of go check in, wait to see if you get called.
Well, then if you tell – but so I've experienced that. I'm kind of – all right, to give our audience a little bit of background, I've had many jobs in my life, like a lot.
Yes, you okay? have.
And one of the jobs that I hated the most was I was a political survey, like, call person at a call center.
I did that for 1 week in college and quit.
I think I've told the story before, but I'll say it one more time. One time I got hung up on, and one of the guys leaned over and said, kid, I've been here for 12 years. I'll give you the ropes. And I said, no. I went back to school, and here I am. I do actually answer political calls because I know how it is, so I'll actually answer.
Right, right.
But
right.
What I'm getting to, and it ties into what Gil is that every time when they ask you, and this is also why I answer, when you answer, they ask you, are you in media? And I say yes, and immediately it's like, thanks, see you later, and they hang up on you. Is that the same thing with jury duty? Like, does Gil just get to tell them, I work in media? It's not traditional media, but it's media.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think for what we do, they don't care as much. If you're a news anchor, or a news reporter, or something, they care a little bit more. Usually, I've heard those stories, but yeah, I don't think that's going to be the instant cross off for Gil this morning.
I mean, as long as he takes that route, and not some of the more drastic routes that are out there, as we know, in terms of rumors to get out of jury duty, you don't want to do those things.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the other way I was just talking about with him yesterday, it's like you also don't want to. You don't want to try to get out of it with some excuse that's just going to delay it for, like, Like, okay, cool, come back next month.
Right.
Right, like, okay, well, you can't keep doing that. You don't want to keep doing that either.
I got gout, you know, I can't be here that long.
Right.
Yeah. Something like that. I've never had gout. Is that a foot thing?
No, it's something in your stomach.
Okay, I have no idea. I've got nothing. At me, JVT. If
you no, it gout. Is a foot thing.
It is. Okay, all right, cool.
I don't know what the hell I was
at me, JVT. Text me if you had gout.
Inflammatory arthritis.
Oh, okay.
It causes pain and swelling in your joints.
There we go. See, you can't do jury duty with that. Just tell them, Gil. I used to tell the doctor I had cataracts for different reasons. All right. Let's talk. Let's talk awards, baby. So we talked MVP. We did talk a little bit about Coach of the Year with Will Hill, and I do think he had a really good point in that. Looking at this from a Coach of the Year standpoint in the National Football League, I wouldn't say no to Kyle Shanahan again. I am fascinated by that dynamic, like Kyle Shanahan versus Brock Purdy, because
right.
The conversation around Brock Purdy, for those who get extreme with it, is he is a system quarterback, which I don't believe to be the case. He's executing the system very well. Does the system help him play better? Sure.
Sure.
But there's not many who are going to get plugged in there and operate at this level that Brock Purdy is. But there is that thought process, and because there are some of us that think that, there might be some voters who think that. And so if you're voting for Coach of the Year, right, if you're somebody who votes for both, can you realistically talk yourself into voting for Kyle Shanahan for Coach of the Year and Brock Purdy for MVP? Like, I do wonder if that is a dynamic, or if I'm making something out of nothing.
Like, no, like you said, again, it's whenever we talk awards, it's handicapping voters, right? It's not really handicapping as much as what we think's gonna what we think it should be. It's what do we think the thought process is gonna be? And I like the way I always talk about with like that specific JVT is it's the. All it takes is a couple people to think that way, right? And then you're already behind the eight ball with it, as far as this stuff goes.
You can make a difference with your vote. Go on.
There you go. So, yeah, like, is it a thing? It's enough of a thing when it comes to voting on awards that it's in my mind that I think you have to keep it in your mind. So, I mean, that got brought up a lot, you know, earlier in the season, right, with the Offensive Player of the Year and MVP with Tua and Tyreek. It was, could you possibly do that? And yes, I think that's in voters' minds that a lot of voters wouldn't do that.
Yep. So I also, when you're looking at this, and I thought Will had a good rebuttal in terms of looking at Harbaugh. I think he's actually done a really good job, but the expectation was that this team was going to be somewhat good. But the expectation was that the 49ers were going to be good.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know what that, like, I don't know why that would be ignored for Shanahan, but not ignored for Harbaugh. But go ahead.
I just think in general with both those, it's the opportunity to take the one seed and possibly finish in the NFL with the best record.
Well, how about this?
Right. So it's just as plain and simple as that.
For those who are watching up on YouTube TV.
And you're getting double digit odds for those guys.
So for those who are watching up on YouTube TV and VSiN.com. So if you look at those two names, Kyle Shanahan, John Harbaugh, that trio right there, let me direct you to 14-1. Kevin Stefanski, again, we've got Joe Flacco out here. He doesn't look like prime Joe Flacco, but he's taking shots downfield. Like, he's averaged up to targets in double digits. They're winning football games, like at least competing in some of these things. If they can push on and have a winning record in these last four games and make it, given what Stefanski has had to deal with at the quarterback position, again, now this is defensively driven. If you're a voter, do you say Stefanski is in offensive mind? He does not get credit for it. Again, you're kind of again handicapping what people think.
Yeah.
But I do think that is worth a look. You talk about having to make lemonade out of dog poo. Like, that's exactly what Stefanski has done with this team.
So I always think, what do these teams got to do? He's got to make the playoffs. But if he makes the playoffs, and right now they're what, a game up, all right, or a half game? No, a game up on all the seven win teams. If you make the playoffs, it's the one I've gotten the most questions about since this past weekend. And yeah, I think it's live. Of course, I think he's absolutely live. If he makes the playoff, because a lot of these AFC coaches, that's what we're talking about, right? We're just talking about D'Amico Ryans. What were your expectations before the season? Nothing. You get to the playoffs, you're live for this, right? Shane Steichen, same thing. What were the expectations for the Colts? Nothing. You get to the playoffs, you're live for this. Sean Payton, you're live for this. So all those guys, I think, fall into that group, including Zach Taylor. We brought him up as well. So I think there's a case for almost any of those. So what's the you and Will hit on this earlier. I just don't know. I don't know that I believe in any of these guys being in single digits, being that much better than the rest of the field.
Which means
there's value in this market. I just don't have the one guy I'm running to go bet on.
And that's why it brings us full circle to what we talked about with MVP. We can have all these conversations. I think I can talk. If you sat me down with any Coach of the Year voter, I could sit there and poke holes 1,000 ways in Dan Campbell's case to win Coach of the Year.
I have no idea how he's the short shot in this.
But here's the thing.
Again, still don't get it.
Narratively, people love him.
Yeah.
And maybe we're having this whole conversation for no reason.
And that might be the case with Mike McDaniel, too, yeah, right?
I mean, potentially. The only thing that works against Mike McDaniel is they have fallen short in the big spots, right?
Yeah.
They have lost to the Kansas City Chiefs, the Buffalo Bills, like all these teams that are viewed as contemporaries, they have lost those games.
But to that point, I think Dan Campbell's case and these odds next to Dan Campbell that we're seeing today made a whole lot more sense 2 months ago.
But Kelly.
And now the team's falling apart.
But big rebuttal here. Dan Campbell's funny. Dan Campbell's likable.
Right, exactly.
Dan Campbell screams on the sidelines.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we could be having this conversation for absolutely no reason. That in reality, he's actually like minus 500 because all of these voters have made up their minds. Oh, the moribund Lions, they're going to win double-digit games, and Dan Campbell is the funny guy on HBO we watched last year, and he's at the center of all of it. Could be the reason.
Yeah.
I think it's Ben Johnson and other reasons why they're going to be as good as they are, but that's just me. So, anyway, Coach of the Year.
It's more good as fast.
It is a fascinating one.
Who
like
do you think wins it? Who would you bet on today? Who do you think wins this?
If you were to ask me right now who I thought
and
would
who win do, it. Who do you th- and who would you bet on if you had to bet today?
Okay, so those are two different questions.
Yes.
If you're asking me who I think wins it, I do think it's Dan Campbell because I think that voters are somewhat simple in terms of what they analyze with these. If I were to bet it, it would be Kevin Stefanski.
Assuming that this is unfair because I'm putting another caveat on this. Assuming C.J. Stroud is not for some reason gone a long time, multiple weeks.
Sure.
I think D'Amico Ryans wins this award.
Yep.
If I had to make a bet today, it is Kevin Stefanski or Mike McCarthy. Mike, I think there's also kind of the same line of thinking why we brought up Kyle Shanahan and John Harbaugh. Mike McCarthy's just a name. The expectations were might have been there with this team, but it's just a name we get used to seeing, and we just don't really care. But you went through the whole play calling change with this team. This is right now, as we sit here today, the best Cowboys team I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
You've gotten to that level. If you are able to make a run somehow at possibly flirting with this one seed in the NFC, I think Mike McCarthy's live too.
Nah, he didn't. He didn't run the ball in that one third down.
Right, exactly.
Against the Seattle Seahawks.
So these are the things where I'm like, voters are not going to remember that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, they're not going to remember that.
All right, let me ask you this really quickly. I sent a text. One of my favorite people, we'll have to continue this on the other side. One of my favorite people in the network, Femi Bebefe, host of Lombardi Line, GM Shuffle. I texted him on Sunday because I asked him, I have a ticket preseason on Myles Garrett at 8-1 to win Defensive Player of the Year. He said, how accurate is the NFL deep point market, do you think? And at that point, Micah Parsons is minus 110. Parsons now minus 130 after a big win on Sunday night over the Philadelphia Eagles. He told me he does not think it's very accurate that Garrett should be the favorite. Where do you land here? Because for a lot of different metrics would point to Myles Garrett having a solid lead here in terms of being the best overall defensive player and being the best player on the best defense in the NFL.
Yeah. This is not one at current odds I'd be running to bet. I think it's more those two are more close to even though to each other that you should be feeling good about your 8-1.
Narratively, why I feel the best, Myles Garrett doesn't have one yet.
If there you go. It's that, and people are just going to point to tough Cleveland defense, like leading them to the playoffs.
Yeah.
If there was a year he'd win it by default, it would be this year, just like Joel Embiid won it last year.
Right. We didn't have one
right
yet.
Exactly.
All right, last 10 minutes here on a numbers game. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Don't go anywhere.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You know what I love? Free stuff. All right? I just took up an offer on a free thing. And how about this? You can get our bowl betting guide for free. Check it out now. You don't have to be a pro subscriber. So if you're listening right now or watching and you're like, you know what, I haven't really tried it about yet. I don't even want to try the introductory offer. Well, just get a sample of what we do. Check out the bowl guide for free. You get strategies for betting bowls, how to use betting tools, expert picks. I know the Golics are in there, Musburger's in there, and more. Oh, Steve Mackinnon, his betting systems too. Check out your free copy today, vsin.com/bowl guide. And if you like what you see, VSiN.com/subscribe and check out the introductory offer for $9.99. Look befuddled. Do I do it? Can I say the line?
Do it.
We get tweets.
We get tweets.
All right, there you go.
All right, coming from Primetime, who does tweet in a lot. Used to tweet in primetime action all the time. All right, he just added me on this. Sorry, just add Kelly Bidlin. Easiest way to get out of jury duty is walk and declare both sides that you are the perfect juror due to the fact that, quote, I can just look at someone and know 100% whether they are not guilty. Yes, that will probably work.
That's nice.
This coming from Corbin. Love this episode of Numbers Game This Morning, an extended episode of Hardwood Handicappers with a bit of football thrown in. Another thing, I don't even think people can have an argument anymore without having to be right. I think sports voters are the same. Yes, I think that is something we've probably established on the show today. At ND Money tweeting in, VSiN listeners often hear hosts and guests hammer the importance of value, line shopping, CLV, etc., yet I've never heard anyone bring up a player's salary as part of the equation for determining MVP. Purdy isn't the best, definitely most value. At ND Money, I'm a little confused with the question. Did you bring up someone's salary?
No, I mean, I interpreted it.
Or is he saying that's a part? It should be a part of it?
Or, yeah, the voters will look at his salary or, like, essentially his status and say he's playing well above what we expected coming into the league.
I mean, I think
I'm filling in the gaps here potentially. But
yeah, I think you could tie that into what a lot of people have been saying about, like, oh, him being drafted so late, right? Same kind of thing.
Yes. Okay. I think I get that. Is that it?
I don't know that it – so this – I think it goes back to the last segment, though. Like, again, we're handicapping voters, not what we actually think. And, yeah, I don't know. I don't know that maybe there is a couple voters out there that say, well, Brock Purdy, like, he got drafted that late. He's like, this is incredible. He's got to win MVP.
Bury the lead here. New York Morty. If there was anyone I would want to fill in for Gil, it would be JVT. That was like an hour ago. You're not gonna read this?
Was I on that one?
Yeah,
I didn't see that.
What are we doing? You're trying to bury the lead. My ego's big enough as it is.
I got another one from New York, Morty, but it wasn't about that.
Oh, okay. All right.
Actually, he tweeted me separately and told me you suck. That's what he was.
You know what? I'll take it.
Nah.
What is it? Any news is good news or whatever it is?
Any publicity?
Publicity. Yeah, there we go. Whatever. Any publicity is good publicity. I'm in. Okay. Speaking of being in, Kelly, I'm not afraid to be wrong. We're wrong a lot in this business.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Never afraid to be wrong. Never. I think it's one of my strengths. Never afraid to be wrong. Okay? Except with my wife. I'm never wrong.
How's that working out for you?
We just had our third marriage anniversary. It's going great. Two kids. Okay. I bring this up because I'm in. I did it again.
Yeah, of course you did.
Now, it's an off-market number-ish, so I think that does help the case.
Yes.
But last night, I don't know if you watched it, but I sure as hell did. And I watched my Los Angeles Clippers absolutely dismantle the Sacramento Kings yesterday. I watched my Los Angeles Clippers win their fifth consecutive game. I watched my Los Angeles Clippers with this new starting lineup that has a net rating of now over 15. I watched my Los Angeles Clippers look like what they could be. And I bet them to win the NBA Finals at 30-1.
And preach. There you go.
How do you like them apples?
30-1.
I still have never seen that movie.
Oh, God. You kill me with this stuff.
Good Will Hunting?
Yes.
Yeah. I know what it is.
You were born. So
it's never come. He's a janitor? He's like a super smart janitor, right? Is that the concept? I've seen the Family Guy version of it. I've never seen the actual.
So that's how you watch Star Wars, too?
That's exactly how I watch Star Wars. It's brilliant.
It's the actual Star Wars. Just watch the Family Guy version of it. Oh, that's great. All right, so what were we talking? We were talking about Clippers, and you got 30-1. You're right; it is off market, 18-1 at DraftKings.
Yep, and here where we sit right now, at Circuits, they're 30-1 to win the NBA Finals.
So we've talked a lot about it on Hardwood Handicappers. I don't have a single bet for a team to win the NBA Finals, to win the Eastern Conference, to win the Western Conference. I do think sitting at 30-1 with a team that is finally rounding into shape, it appears. I think it's a pretty good bet. I think they're live. I think that the West is maybe starting to look a little bit more open than we thought at the beginning of the year. I've been trying to be cautious with the Nuggets, and they've had a little bit of a bumpy run here recently. A lot of it definitely is tied into Jamal Murray health and availability and some of that. But Jokic kind of not having as great of a shooting season as he's had in years past. Mm-hmm. Some of this stuff a little on the decline. You've seen the Warriors I don't trust at all. Even though they've gotten feisty in some of these games recently, I think that team outside of Steph Curry, I don't trust at all. My point is the West, I think, is more wide open than we would have necessarily thought during the summertime, right? The Suns, yes. We still haven't seen the whole big three play a game together yet, so we can't really get that excited about them. The Lakers win an in-season tournament title, but that team is basically the same as what they were a year ago. I don't hate it. It's my long way of saying I don't hate it at all.
And here's the big difference, okay?
I'm just making that bet this early because of health concerns I would still have with Kawhi and Paul George.
And that's I think, the key argument for me.
Mm-hmm.
How many games has Kawhi Leonard missed this year? Do you know?
Oh, like one? Two?
None.
Zero.
He has played in every game. He's
back-to-backs.
And they have the most back-to-backs in third and fourth, three games of four nights of any team in the NBA. He is playing every single night. His last three games, he's starting to get more comfortable. His last three games, 41, 34, and 31, shooting well over 57% from the field in those three games. He is not only healthy, and this was the whole thing, right? When everybody was laughing when they lost five straight, part of the job here is you're going to have to work in some different pieces. But this lineup with Harden on the floor and Russell Westbrook off and their new starting lineup is downright elite, and it's getting better every single week. So I'm just willing to take the risk. I'm willing to do it, especially at off market 30-1 and the way that they've been winning games, the way the West looks, I'm in.
I mean, you've pressed me on the pod because there's a team that I can make the same argument about to the negatives that I've been very high on the past couple years. When you have a healthy Zion Williamson, it's the New Orleans Pelicans, and what we've seen that team look like when they have C.J. McCollum, Brandon Ingram, and him on the court, it's just the same thing. I'm just not ready to dive into the futures markets because I am. Can Zion really make it through a whole season? I don't really know. This goes back to our whole two thoughts in your head at the same time,
sure.
Right? So I like it. I like the number. There's a chance it's the best number you're going to see all year, so I don't mind the bet at all.
All right, really quickly, tonight in the NBA, you betting anything?
I bet the Bucks. I think this is back-to-back not good cards, though. We talked to Drew Dinsick yesterday. I thought he brought up a good point, JVT, of just this is usually like December, January, February, kind of my favorite time of year to bet the NBA. In-season tournament has thrown this off a little bit.
It's because you know what's throwing me off, too, is all the days off.
That's what Drew brought up. He brought up how this is the time of year that a lot of us like to attack different rest advantage spots. When you've kind of hit this reset period, it makes it a little tougher. I do agree. Last night, I didn't bet a single thing. I'm on the Bucks tonight. I laid 5.5 yesterday, up to 6.5. I think you'd be a fine there. You could also look to get an in-game. This is definitely a game where, yes, I bet something pre-game, but I'm going to look in game with how high the total is. We're talking 258.5 again. Remember, this is a rematch from what we saw in the in-season tournament semifinals. A number play for me. We're back at home in Milwaukee. I don't think this adjusted enough from what we saw that in-season tournament number looking like, especially since the total is exactly the same. We did see a bit of a formula from the Lakers, I think, of how you can shut down Tyrese Haliburton, how you can kind of make this team struggle a little bit more on the Pacers side. Plus the Bucks. We heard of all the reports about the explosions post-game. I mean, if this is not the...
Not actual explosions for anybody watching.
Locker room explosions. But if this is not as much of a revenge spot as you can get in the regular season in the NBA... I don't know what is, and a lot of that was just pure effort problems from the Bucks during that game. So I like this side tonight. Again, I think at this number you could still bet it. I would bet it lightly though, and look to get in live. I think you'll get an opportunity
under 258.5. All right, add that out of the way. Important things. Tweet from Jason who says, "In true and numbers game fashion, what does this mean? Can you ask JVT if he has a sushi place?"
I wanted to read that one to you. What's your favorite sushi place in town?
Okay, so we just went to one, and actually, myself, my wife, and Dustin Sweetelson.
Oh, okay.
All went out together one night. Sushi Neko on Spring Mountain. Awesome.
Okay.
It's the first time I went out there. They also get little meat skewers and stuff like that. All part of all you can eat. Tremendous. Give them a
all you can
pop.
Eat?
Yeah, baby.
Oh, okay.
And
so it might be Gil's spot. It might not be. I don't know.
The skewer, why?
Gil's got a secret sushi spot. He won't tell anybody.
What are the chances?
So everybody tweets in about it.
I'll find out. I know sushi.
He hasn't told me. He won't tell me.
This is my city. You think you can get out of here with a secret? Come on. All right, that does it for a numbers game. Gil, unless he's on the trial of the century, should be back tomorrow because he's filling in on jury duty. Appreciate all the kind words and the engagement today. I will see you, what's today, Wednesday? Friday on VSiN Primetime and, of course, on the weekends. With that, I'm sorry. I don't know what's coming up next.